I'd like to read the text in the King James Version, 1 Peter 1:13-16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Father, we have entered your sanctuary, seeking a blessing, but also desiring to give the worship that you deserve. We have just read, be ye holy, for I am holy. It is a high attainment to be holy. Father, it is only through the merits of the risen Savior and the blood of the Lamb that we can attain to such heights. We ask that your Spirit will move, that hearts will be open to see and to understand. Give us the gift of discernment this morning in this word, in your precious word. Speak through me. May this vessel be open to your channels of grace. May not one human word escape from these lips, but may the voice of Jesus be heard. Thank you, Father, for anointing this sanctuary with your Holy Spirit and for drawing close to us. In Jesus' most precious name we ask. Amen. In these texts that we just read, the Apostle Peter here gives instructions for believers to gird up the loins of their minds. We are to have a special care over the thoughts of the mind. We are not to allow our minds to be diverted and allured by different things, because there is something more important for us. If we would allow the mind to take its natural turn, it might dwell upon unimportant things, and in that we receive absolutely no benefit. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 presents before us one great event, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the coming of our Lord and Savior. When graves are to be opened, and the righteous dead shall be raised, and we are changed for eternity. This event should fill our mind and crowd out everything else. Are we willing to make the most of the privileges and the opportunities we have to prepare for the future immortal life? Are we willing? The truth of God has taken us out of the quarry of this world to prepare us for the heavenly temple of God. We may look upon one another and think, there is a great work to be done for that particular brother and sister, but we may not take into consideration the work that is needed for ourselves. And if Satan can get in among the people and produce a spirit of criticism, then he is most satisfied when he sees a root of bitterness springing up amidst the people. We are not all the same character, are we? But we are brought together in church fellowship where we are privileged to count ourselves as children of God, and where we are privileged to talk of having a home in the city of God. Our faith is such that if we perfect a Christian character through the power of the indwelling Christ, there's something that needs to be said here. Oftentimes we hear, if we perfect a Christian character. But we leave out that last part. Through the power of the indwelling Christ, we cannot perfect ourselves, folks. It is not possible. If we perfect a Christian character through the indwelling of the power of Christ, we shall be numbered with the family of God in the mansions that He has gone to prepare for us. Now our Heavenly Father brings us together in church fellowship, that we may gain in knowledge, that we may gain in wisdom, that we may gain in spiritual edification as a preparation for the community of heaven. Some may say, all I want is that everyone should see eye to eye. There are those who want everyone to see just as they do. They do not consider that they have traits of character that must be changed as well. Then, what is the work before us in order to be ready, to be among those who are waiting for the Lord's return? It is for us to be in a position of humility before God. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord has not placed just one individual the task of becoming a church mender or to bridge the gap alone. But we do want to individually feel that we have responsibility before God to be a blessing to everyone with whom we associate. Are we to consider that every brother and sister is the purchase of the blood of Christ? Indeed, yes. Here we are, living stones out of the quarry, and we are to be chiseled and fitted for the New Jerusalem. Do not let any of us think that we are all right in ourselves. As soon as we are taken out of the quarry, we have a work to do for ourselves by the Christ who lives within us. Galatians 5:17 says that the flesh lusteth after what? The Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. We want to be considering those things that will give us solid, unshakable characters. We do not want to have a high esteem of ourselves, but we want to esteem others better than ourselves. We pray that our souls shall be uplifted to God every moment for help, for fear we shall fall. And while some are so diligent to look after others, they will forget the work there is for their own soul. We are to heed the exhortation of the apostle that we are to be holy in all manner of conversation. When I studied this, I realized that God had a huge work in me to do yet. As we separate those things from us which will be a hindrance to our advancement in this incredible spiritual journey, do you realize that each and everyone here is on an incredible spiritual journey? The Holy Spirit will come in when we realize that. We want to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. And if you are not closely connected with Christ, then the thoughts of your mind will be upon unimportant things. But if you are connected with Jesus, you will just as surely be a channel of light as Jesus is light. For Jesus has said of his followers, ye are the light of the world. We are by living faith to keep our eyes fixed on whom? The author and finisher of our faith. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 1:14 and 15. Before any of us had ever become acquainted with Jesus, our conversation focused on what we shall eat, on what we shall drink, and what we shall wear as humans. Perhaps we have found fault with one another. But as soon as we become acquainted with Christ, our conversation changes into the beautiful atmosphere of heaven. It's automatic. When Christ is in the heart, the garbage is dispelled. We do not have a work in that area. When we know Jesus, it will be automatic. Because where Jesus resides, can garbage reside? Can filth reside? Can sin reside? All things become new. It's not just a partial thing, is it? All things become absolutely brand new. So here we are, sitting in this beautiful sanctuary, objects of his love. Has the change taken place in us? Namely, have we passed from death unto life? have we died indeed to self? Have we fastened our hearts and affections upon the living Savior? Our Savior is full of light and power. Every single solitary provision has been made for us to accept and deeply follow our precious Savior all the way. We already have the abundant, matchless grace that is freely given, so that we may overcome every defect of character in the power of the indwelling Christ. Are we satisfied with what this world has to offer? Or do we desire the fullness that is found in Jesus? When you really think about it, can you see clearly the importance of this subject? When our conversation dwells upon heaven and heavenly things, the angels of God are all around us. And when we are in our thoughts and in our hearts drawing near to God, then He is drawing nigh to us. His love is in our hearts, and then we speak it from our lips. It is not only our duty to honor God by thinking and pondering and meditating upon heavenly things, but we are to talk of these things, for it is our duty to bind up our mind, as the text said, to gird up the loins of our mind, as the text said, and say, I will talk only of Jesus, my shepherd. It is our duty as children of the King to guard our conversation in every area. We would think from the shadow that many walk in that they had no Savior. But I can, from a heart that has been changed, speak freely and say to you today that Christ is risen. He is risen. He is not in Joseph's new tomb, but He has arisen and He has ascended on high to make intercession for us. We have a risen Savior interceding for us. What more can bring joy to the heart than that thought? We must walk in harmony with God, folks. He is seeking to purify unto Himself a what? A peculiar people. Zealous of good works. You read that word, zealous of good works. It's just waiting to burst out. It's not a works program. It's not going out there and doing all the good that you possibly can do to earn the merits of Jesus' love. It is not that at all. Period. As humans, we tend to think along those lines. We all are capable of tending to think that way. But God has given us the victory over that. If we seek with all of our hearts to be obedient to the call of Jesus, allowing Jesus to conform our will to His will, then the work can go forward in us without interruption. We don't have to worry about it. It will be natural in the Spirit of Jesus. Let us always remember that we are living for the future immortal life. Let us put away from us everything like complaint and fault-finding. Let our words, let our conversation reveal to the world that we have a hope that is big with immortality. We want that His will shall be our will. We do not want that our will shall be such that it will control everything around us. An example. A brother comes to the pastor and says, Pastor, we must see eye to eye. I view matters in this light, and the elder in another light, and I cannot make him see everything as I do. His habits and ways are altogether different than mine. Thank God, brother, says the pastor, that there is only one like you in the world. For if we were all like you, God could not bless in divine diversity. Your brother's ways are just as precious to him as yours are to you. The fact remains, God wants us to go through the mill. Not around it, and not over it, and not under it. He wants us to go through the mill. Here, in this example, this man's sharp character must be burnished off, for he has always been coarse in his conversation, and he must overcome that with Jesus living in his heart. This is the very thing that the apostle means when he says, you must overcome in order to have a home in heaven. Jesus must be in my whole work to transform my character. We must accept the truth as it is in Jesus, and then how kind we will be to one another. How courteous. For this was the work of my master, and this is the work of your master. We shall see the precious imprint of Jesus upon the character. And when we learn the precious lessons he has for us to learn, we will be just like Jesus. Come unto me, says he, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Do we truly experience rest? Truly. Not always. But should we? Yes, indeed. The Bible is clear. So here we are, with all of our variances and all of our differences, as brothers and sisters. Come to me, says Christ, and learn of me. 9/10 of all our troubles come from our esteeming ourselves too highly. Think about it. But just as soon as we begin to look and see how many virtues we can find in others with whom we associate, then we will not be so ready to see their defects when we're looking for their virtues. And we will dwell upon the good in their character in place of their faults. In doing this, we bind them closer to our hearts by the firm cords of love. Let every member, including myself, in every church, be working in such a manner to bind the hearts of their fellow brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters are hurting. They are in despair. They are going through much. We need to see our brothers and sisters through the eyes of Jesus. When we bind the hearts of our fellow brothers and sisters, then, and only then, the precious light that emanates from Jesus will be reflected upon the life and the character of each member. There is something meant in the expression which is based on Jude 20. Building up yourselves in the most holy faith, and whenever you shall have the sweet comfort of the Spirit of God, you will have an earnest desire to give that sweet comfort to others. You will not have to will yourself to do it. It will come. And it will come with a bang. I know. I will share a thought that I shared with my daughter. We got to talking in the car, and we got to talking about spiritual things. And I praise God every minute for that. And she indicated to me that I was different. And I said, how can I be different, Crystal, when I've been walking this walk for over 10 years now? And she said, Dad, I can't explain it, but you are different this last year. And you know, I thought about that, and I relayed this story to her. A true story. One day I was walking down Water Street, about 2 years ago. And coming towards me on the sidewalk was a man full of dirt and grime, and the world today would label him a bum. And you know what I did? I walked across the street so I would not have to face him. You know something? It's only been this past year, or even less than that, that I truly realize that Jesus loves this man just as much as me. And I realize that there is an area of repentance in there. It was wrong. it was wrong. Jesus came to this earth to bind up the brokenhearted and the poor and the destitute. And may we never see people unworthy. And so, when I relayed that story, Crystal knew. She knew why there was a change. Because Jesus is in here. If you have the precious light from heaven, and have we not everything from Jesus to talk about? I could give you subjects that would expand your thoughts and expand your mind regarding the awesome love of Jesus. And yet, you know something? This would only scratch the surface. The great plan of redemption is not half comprehended. If we could only understand the plan of salvation, we would be the happiest people upon the face of this earth. We wouldn't have to hand out 20 pages of Bible text on joy and peace and love and praise. The truth that God has given us would so fill our minds that we would not talk of earthly things. You would find it almost impossible to explain to others the greatness of salvation that you feel in your own heart. Jesus wants you to dwell upon His salvation. Our precious Savior has died to bring us to God. He has suffered as our sacrifice. And all this was that we could stand freed from sin, cleansed from all iniquities. The cleansing blood of Christ is enough for us to talk about from morning till night, if we will only let our minds run in this direction. It's an inexhaustible theme. We want an intelligent faith. We want to understand how much of the blessing of God we can claim. Hear the word of God on this point. Romans 8:32. He that hath spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It is through the Son of God that we claim the promises that He has left on record for us. This record. Here we have come out and are keeping His commandments because we see it is His requirement. We make ourselves peculiar from the world in this respect. And as we follow the best light we have in keeping His commandments, it is our privilege to claim His blessing and then lay our whole burden upon Jesus Christ and claim by faith His rich salvation. While Satan will press upon your soul his darkness and tell you that you cannot be saved, tell him, Jesus has died for me. It was a whole sacrifice that was made in my behalf, and I claim a whole sacrifice. And I claim a whole salvation. The Master would have me joyful, for He had said it in John 15. The Word of God declares plainly and positively, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye shall be my disciples. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Not for a fleeting moment. Always remain in you, and that your joy might be half full, quarter full, full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We want to believe the words of Christ, don't we? For they are the Spirit. They are the life. We want to take Him at His word. We want to walk right out upon the narrow plank of faith. We want to serve God with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our mind and strength. And then it is our privilege to claim to be the children of God. God wants to pour into your souls the light and glory of His presence. He wants that His joy shall remain in you and that your joy may be full. That when you or I meet with our brothers and sisters, we can say, hear what the Lord has done for me. He has given me a rich experience. And if I seek Him for His blessing, a blessing will most assuredly come. Then you begin to talk of Christ's coming. And the end of all things is at hand. And how we are getting ready for His appearing. Then you talk of that heavenly city. You talk of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. And you talk of the King in His beauty with His kingly crown. And of the riches that are to be given to the children of God. You talk of that stream that goeth forth out of the throne of God. And then you say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, everything. Bless His holy name." Can we be such a people today? Can we talk of Jesus with the utmost in heartfelt conviction? Is the world in desperate need of a people that will leave such an impression for Jesus? Most assuredly, I say yes. They would say that we have something that they have not. And they would begin to inquire, "What can I do to be as happy as that man? Or happy as that woman? Or happy as that child?" Brothers and sisters, God is our strength. He does not want you to go crippling through life. And when you enter the gate of the New Jerusalem, you will read over that gate, "Blessed are they that do His commandments in love." Jesus will welcome you. And with His own hand, place the crown upon your brow of all those who enter there. Then they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb in the kingdom of glory. Is this not inducement enough so that we should think upon heavenly things? And the best of it is, we do not enter the city as convicts, but as sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Father stands at the gate and welcomes everyone to His home, our home. There we shall praise, and with the resounding shouts of hallelujahs and amen, our glorious Redeemer. And the song will echo, and it will re-echo through the courts of heaven. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. I ask you, is this not enough to talk about? Shall we go mourning, just as though God's wrath were about to break upon us? Or shall we talk of that infinite love that has been brought to us by the infinite sacrifice of the infinite Son of God? When you think of these things and of the love of Jesus, you will love one another, and you cannot help it. Christ has manifested His interest in humanity. He says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." We are dealing with Jesus in the person of His saints. We are dealing with Jesus in the person of each individual here. Then we should all be very careful how we might wound the hearts of our brothers and sisters. Folks, we are almost home. Pilgrims and strangers, only a little longer. All heaven is interested in the salvation of your soul. And in harmony with heaven, we should be interested for those around us. We should be getting ready for that heavenly city. And so, in closing, I do indeed stand before you and praise God with all of my soul, because Jesus has died for me, and He has died for you, and He has wrought out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that we shall have in that day. Brothers and sisters, are you getting ready to move? Is your house for sale? Keep your mind upon the better country, even the heavenly. learn to sing the song here upon this earth. The best song you can learn is to speak kindly to one another. For in heaven, the business of the inhabitants is to please one another. Bring all of heaven that you can take into this life. We have a living Jesus, and let us triumph in a living Savior. He saves us with an everlasting salvation.